Mike, welcome back to the show. Hope you had a great summer.
I did. How about yourself?
Oh, it was fantastic. I love it. It feels like summertime here today. It's beautiful. So it's good. Now, the Wild, I guess their big offseason acquisition would be the signing of Eric Staal. But other than that, they didn't go out and make a lot of moves. But I was reading online a lot of different prognosticators expecting them to be improved. Where do you see them improving?
Well, I think a couple of guys turned the corner, if you will, last season. Charlie Coyle is one of them. He got over that 20-goal mark. He scored 21, 42 points last year. So I think people are expecting Charlie Coyle, if he stays on the wing, he's been jumping back and forth for necessity reasons the last couple of years. But if he stays on the wing, which we expect him to, and plays on a line with Staal and Parisi, then I think that you can expect good things out of that line. Down the stretch last year, Halla, Niederreiter, Pominville came alive. They were one of the highest point-producing lines in the league, actually, over the last, 15, 20 games. So it was pretty exciting to see some chemistry there, especially out of a guy like Pominville, who had not been putting up a lot of points. And it was good to see Halla really take another step. And, of course, we know that Niederreiter's a pretty good player, too. So there's some good signs there. We also saw some good signs of Granlund taking another step when he moved to the wing as well. We got a couple of centermen moving to the wing, which gives them a little more freedom. And he clicked with Mikko Koivu fairly well down the stretch as well. So, there's a lot of hope that the guys that they do have already are going to be the guys that continue to move up upward and continue to get better. And they're hoping that guys like Staal, and they did reacquire Chris Stewart, who is a big body and gives them some size on the wing. They're hoping that can help them as well.
On the back end, you've got Suter and Spurgeon and Brodin and Scandella and Matt Dumba as their top five. Now, with the expansion draft looming, you can only protect four defensemen and Mac. So a lot of people think one of those final three in Brodin, Scandella, and Dumba will either get traded or have to be exposed in the waiver draft, which I'm sure expansion draft, which they won't like. So out of those three, how do you see their roles going this year? Is there one who starts the season as, quote, the number five in your eyes?
Hard to say, really. I mean, you got Matt Dumba, who made some very good strides last year. I think he could definitely show those kind of signs of a guy who can be responsible in his own end, but then shows that offensive upside. You have Brodin, who is who's turning into a real shutdown type defenseman. He hasn't shown a ton of offensive upside, but boy, he's shown some really good signs back in his own end. But it's really hard to put a label on anybody at this point. I think, every year brings its own, development. Every year brings its own situations for defensemen. The Wild know they're going to lose somebody. They're going to lose somebody good. And that's just the nature of the expansion draft. So I guess as things progress, if they see something that they want to manipulate a little bit, like you said, whether it's making a trade or doing something else, then I suppose they'll have to make that decision at that time. But I don't think that they're going to make decisions right now for what's going to happen next year. They want to see, I guess, where these guys develop, especially under a different coach now. They got Bruce Boudreau in here now. So, and obviously they have Scott Stevens as an assistant coach as well. So, these defensemen could go in very good directions, and that would help, help them at least make some decisions.
Who do you see then as the number six? Is Prosser or Bartley? Is there anyone else? Where is Mike Riley fit in that equation?
Yeah, Riley fits in there. So does Prosser. Bartley, unfortunately, just announced today that he tore a tricep, so he'll be out for a few months.
Oh, okay.
With that. So he's out with that, and so that maybe changes a little bit of the dynamic because certain guys need waivers, certain guys don't. But right now, they're battling for those last couple of spots. Follin is still in there as well. He came in pretty good shape this camp, so. I think there's going to be a pretty good battle there, but waivers certainly makes a difference for what players get get moved and what players stay. So We'll have to see how that plays out. I know that Riley looks pretty decent to here, and he had some pretty good games last year in his development. So, you know, there's some decisions to be made here on the blue line. They have a pretty good deep blue line, but there's still some decisions to be made.
Mike Greenlee from the Minnesota Wild joins us. Mike, any newcomers from inside the organization going to make that team up front?
You know what? You could see Tyler Graevac, who actually cracked the lineup out of camp last year and then got hurt and then had injury problems all season long. So Graevac has a chance to, you know, to get back to where he was at the beginning of last season. And then Joel Eriksson Ek, who's a high draft pick for the Wild, he's looked really good. He's young, he's 19. You know, the thought process is that, you know, are they going to keep him or does he maybe go back to Sweden for another year? You know, obviously they would love to be able to have him move to the Iowa Wild, but it looks like, you know, I think if he doesn't stay with the big club, he might go back to Sweden. But you know, he's looked very good. They're gonna look at him for the next two games for sure in the preseason here, and kind of go from there and see how he fits in. Curtis Gabriel was reassigned today to Iowa. They want to see him. He's more of a rough and tumble tough guy. They want to see him continue to play lots of minutes and prove the actual part of his game. And they know he's tough. They know that he can bring a toughness factor, but they want him to learn all the nuances of the system and everything like that, and just become a better hockey player. And you never know, and they, you know, he could grow into someone. But as of now, I think two of the guys that kind of whose names are stepping out are definitely Eriksson Ek and Graevac.
Which one of those do you like best?
Graevac's a big body, you know, a big guy in up the middle. He's, you know, I don't know how much it's always tough to tell with only a couple of preseason games. You know, trying to come back from some injuries last year, he didn't play a lot last year. So, you know, there's probably a little bit better idea as to what they can see out of him. Eriksson Ek, you know, again, he's a young guy. He probably still has a little bit of filling out to do, even though he gained some weight, which is good this summer. But he looks very skilled. I mean, he looks like a guy that could definitely. But they're not the same type of player. You have a little more of a dynamic player in Ek. You've got a guy who's pretty good with the puck, but also is a big body and has good size in Graevac. It's kind of right now tough to decide which one you want to go with. The fact that Graevac made the lineup out of camp last year, I like the fact that he's a big body and that he's got a bit of experience. Ek can continue to develop and still be a tremendous player, and he's still pretty young. So I don't know what the plan is to keep him here all season long. They might try the, you know, 8-9 game scenario with him and then see what happens after that. Maybe he goes back to Sweden after that. But it's really tough. I do like Graevac and the fact that he's a big body. I also like Ek, though. I mean, he's a skilled guy. They're not in the same mold. So it's kind of six and one half dozen the other, depending on what the Wild are going to need.
Mike Greenlee, analyst for the Wild, joins us. Mike, Eric Staal. Last year, of course, not a very good season at all. Some people wondered, you know what, hit the wall, maybe speed's a factor for him. How has he looked in camp and in preseason? And talking to him, what does he feel he needs to do to get back to the Eric Staal that people remember being a fairly dominant? Maybe he'll never get that dominant, but to be more than what he was last year.
Yeah, I think people are, at least the Wild are, hoping that he can, you know, rekindle some of that feel that he had. I mean, and the fact that he'd be playing with a couple of pretty good players, a good-sized guy and skill guy, and guy with pretty good skill in Charlie Coyle. And, of course, Zach Parise doesn't need any introduction. So, I mean, you put him out there with guys like that. I think that he needs to be surrounded by guys that he can be, you know, benefit. He looks great. He's in great shape. Being in the west side of things and him being out east all that time, you see him a little bit. We didn't realize how big and strong a guy he was. You know, he's got a pretty good presence to him. His speed looks fine. He looks like he's reinvigorated. That's certainly what the Wild want to see. I think he just wants to gain some chemistry here real quick with his line mates. They're trying him, as I said, with Coyle and with Parisi, and that should give him an instant boost. I mean, I'm never a fan of getting guys and then saying, well, let's hope that he can find what he used to have. I'm not usually a fan of that, but I guess when you consider the fact that he was playing somewhere like Carolina that, you know, just didn't have the kind of excitement in the building and didn't have the type of players that you can filter around him to make it worthwhile. I think now that he's here with the Wild, he's in a hockey market, he's around some pretty solid core of players, and he's being asked to do something like play, you know, top center type minutes. I think that the caveat there is that I think that he is the kind of scenario that will work, where you can ask a guy like that to try and find his game again like he used to have. And I think that he will. I mean, he looks pretty good. They skated for the first time last night with that line in a preseason game and, you know, put up some points and looked really good. So let's hope that chemistry keeps developing. And so far, so good, I would say.
Now, Thomas Vanek, of course, they'll have to pay him, still have to pay Matt Cook as far as guys that they bought out. But Charlie Coyle is a young player that a lot of people look at, you know, maybe, and you talked about him briefly earlier, that take that step this year to become even more of an impactful player. What do you like about Coyle's game at 24 years of age? And what do you think he needs to do to kind of take that next step and become one of the consistent offensive leaders in Minnesota?
I think he took a big step last year, but I certainly don't think he's even viewing the ceiling yet. I mean, I like everything about Charlie Coyle. I mean, I like his focus and his demeanor. He's a good pro. I mean, he's already a good pro at a young age. He was when he first got here. You know, he takes care of himself. He, you know, from a nutrition and a physical standpoint, he's a hard worker. He does all those things. He has the right demeanor, whether he's asked to play center or play wing and a bouncing back and forth. So he almost has had some adversity shoved upon him here in the last few years, and he's handled it pretty well. You know, he's just a guy that just, he's like a bull in a china shop. He's the kind of guy who continues to develop. I love the quality of the way he handles himself, because that's, you know, when I see a guy like that, I start to think leader. I start to think a guy who, you know, might have a letter on his sweater, you know, in the next few years down the road. So I just think Charlie Coyle needs to keep doing what he's doing. He told me that he worked on his skating a lot this summer, something that he wanted to do and what they wanted him to do to get better, get faster. He's a big, solid kid. There's just nothing I don't like about this kid. He just seems to, you know, he just gets it. I mean, he just seems to know the areas that he needs to try and get better in, and he knows what his role is, you know, no matter what he's asked to do. So I just, you know, I could talk about him all day long. I just like him as a person, as a player, as a pro, everything. So I think there's big things, even bigger things for Charlie Coyle. Like I said, he had 21 goals and 42 points last year, and I think playing with Parisi, who's now healthy, and Eric Staal, who's looking to reinvigorate himself, I think all three of those guys could have some pretty good numbers this year.
And lastly, Devin Dubnyk, we know, is going to be the starter. Darcy Kemper, they got Alex Stalock there, do they not? Any chance he pushes for that backup job?
He'll push a little bit, but I think he'll start the season in Iowa. I mean, the fact that they got him is great. You know, to have an NHL goaltender that you can call on a moment's notice is really helpful. Dubnyk's been very durable. He played in 67 games last year, and he played 39 straight the year before that. You know, and he's shown that he can handle that workload. But you know, you look at Bruce Boudreau, and his track record is that his goaltenders play, and that means both of them. So Darcy Kemper, who's an unrestricted free agent next year, big year for him here, because if the track record of Boudreau says anything, it means Kemper will get his starts. He'll get a, you know, he might get a third of the games, and two thirds might go to Devin Dubnyk, but Darcy Kemper still will get starts, and he'll be given an opportunity to show where his game's at, and so we'll just see where it goes from there. So I think it's a good situation. They don't have that scenario with the three goalies this year. Last year they had, you know, Nick Backstrom here. Even though he didn't play, he was still practicing here. He had three goalies rotating, and it was just tough. I mean, now you just got the two. Stalock's going to start in Iowa probably, and then, you know, he can push. He can push if he's playing well, or, you know, if one of the guys up here falters or gets injured, you got a guy that you can bring up. So I like the goaltending situation. We'll see how it plays out. But, you know, just given Boudreaux's track record, he's never had a goaltender in the last, at least with Anaheim, play more than 54 games in a season. So that might give you an indication as to how much Kemper will be playing this year. And that maybe that'll be good to have that kind of push behind Devin Dubnyk.
As always, Mike, we appreciate the rundown. Looking forward to the season. Thanks for your time.
Yep. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you soon.